Now, Yelly, would you please give
me... Chex Mix.
Can I just explain, like, the serving sizes? I fucking hate that they're all like, yeah, this has 120 calories, but it's three fucking servings. And I'm just like...
It's 130 calories per serving.
Yeah.
Closer to your mic. Let's hear.
Yeah, so it's like three fucking servings. So, no, 3.5 servings. I'm sorry. And
mine
for
is
a
four
half
servings.
A cup,
yours is four?
Mine is
for
four
that
servings.
Tiny little thing?
It's 12 pieces.
Yours
for a single serving.
Mine is 3.5.
A single serving is 140 calories. So
this
I've
is,
like consumed.
This
like,
is, I'm having, okay, well, hello everyone and welcome to episode 21.
I'm salty.
And we're just being a little salty for week of the myth. But we are also chowing down and we're just staring at...
Junk food.
Yeah, we're chowing on junk food. And we're staring at the food that we have in front of us. And I have Cheetos Puffs Flaming Hot. And I have the calories staring right in my face. And this is this tiny bag. This tiny bag that I will finish.
The bag's not that small, actually. Yeah, it's like two people's size.
I feel like the tiny ones are like the little lunch... meal.
That's
like
just
one.
Not enough for.
One tail or two?
So yeah, my
they
Cheeto.
Know how the magic happens. These are kind of really spicy.
I really like these ones.
Yeah, the Cheeto Puffs
are
nice.
I love these ones. Like, I prefer the Cheeto Puffs over the regular any day. Blah, blah, blah.
The Flaming Hot Onion Rings one.
Mm.
Ooh, the Flaming
the
Hot
Onion ones?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to actually go outside the box and agree with Chevy. The Flaming Hot Fritos. Those are really good. No, the actual Flamin' Hot ones.
Oh.
Mm. So yeah, I have the Cheetos Puffs Flamin' Hot. This bag is supposed to be for 3.5 servings, and it's 160 calories, and it's about 13 pieces. Just 13 pieces.
We should dump it out and count how many pieces there actually is in there.
I actually did that last night. Well, not really. So I
you
have like
counted the amount of pieces
I
you
did
were eating.
Because I was like, okay, I'm still on a diet, but I'm still under my calories. So this is okay. This should be fine. So I grabbed the big bag like, that we have, and I looked at it. I'm all like, 160 calories for 13 pieces. One, two, like I counted them as I ate them, and there was one that was tiny enough. So I'm like, 0.5.
Oh my God.
So, hey, but I stepped on the scale, and I was still 2 pounds under today. So,
so you pooped out.
That's
kind of like half a cup of ice cream as a serving.
Dude, I take that whole pint.
Yeah.
What about you, Yelly? What are you eating?
I'm eating Chex Mix. You're making fun
chest
of
me. Mix?
Chex Mix.
It sounds like you're saying chest.
Chex.
There you go.
I said Chex.
It sounds like you said chest.
Chex Mix.
How many servings is in that bag?
It's a snacks mix. Savory. It says 60% less fat than regular potato chips. And,
as I'm stuffing my face, yes.
It's just for about 3.5 servings per container. The container says serving size is half of a cup, which is 29 grams.
Ugh.
You spill?
Sorry.
No, they got on me.
And it's 120 calories per, so times 3.5 times 120.
Dude, I'm about to like... It's a good thing I really didn't eat anything today.
That's like 360 plus... I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's 60. 60 is like 400.
Math!
Yeah.
420.
Well, that's what I'm stuffing my face with right now.
All right. It's stressful day. Don't judge us. Joe, what are you eating?
I honestly just like the little cereal pieces the most.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I give you guys the pretzels.
The actual
Chex
pieces.
Like the red Chex Mix in mine.
Those ones are good. I usually, you know what I did one time with the Chex Mix? I ate every piece except for the cereal pieces, and then I saved the rest of them, and then ate just the cereal with milk.
The savory kind?
No, not the savory kind. It was like
there
the,
is a
it
honey
was,
one.
It was there. Were, I think it was the original kind where it was just it was just like regular
one.
The honey nut one. I think no, you know what? I think it was a honey nut one that I did that to. It was actually pretty good.
of honey.
I am eating Takis.
So Mexican right now.
They're not that great, honestly. Like I saw the bag and I was like, you know what? It's been a while, and it's been a while.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting that I don't particularly care for these, but for whatever reason, I saw the bag and I was like, I want to try them again. The nutritional facts for mine is 4 servings per container.
Smaller than our bags.
It's a small fucking bag. And one serving size is 1 ounce, which is equal to about 12 pieces. And each serving size is a total of 140 calories. And I've annihilated the whole bag.
I'm sorry, but I think I won this because mine's 160 calories.
Yeah, but yours is 3 servings. Mine is 4 with 140.
So you win.
Okay, that is a total of, actually.
Snack battle time.
All right, pulling out the calculator.
Mine is 500 and...
Wait, what? How many calories 520. Is per serving?
That's 140.
Times 4?
Times 4.
560.
560. Yelly? Yeah, that's what I said.
120 times 3.5.
420.
No.
560 for me.
So yours and mine balance out to the same.
Yep. But...
I challenge you guys to a sodium battle.
I fucking won this.
What's your sodium?
310.
Mine's 220.
Can I concede?
I plead the fifth.
So my sodium is 410 milligrams.
Oh, God. And then that times four.
Times four.
So
that's a lot of sodium. I'm going to be bloated
tomorrow.
Let's go
with carbs. Carbs, huh? How about the total carbs? I have 16.
Mine's 22.
Oh, shit.
Okay, I don't feel so bad anymore. Mine's only 17.
Damn. So mine's the lowest? Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Because yours are poofs.
They're poofs.
And mine are little
tortilla. So what about protein?
Dietary fibers. I got two also, sweet.
Yay.
How about iron? Does anyone have any iron in theirs?
I've got 0 milligrams of iron. I've got potassium, though.
2%.
I got 0.7.
Well, actually, mine's 0.4 milligrams with 2%, and then potassium's 30 milligrams.
I've got 0 across the board. No, wait, calcium. I've got 8 milligrams of calcium.
Calcium. Now, what's in the ingredients? Mine is enriched cornmeal. Cornmeal, fructose?
I can't even pronounce that.
Sulfate.
Better than mine.
Sulfate.
I got yeast.
Nikin? Folic acid. Oh, God. I'm just going to stop.
Can we please just stop? Because half of the ones that are
I won't be able to pronounce either. Yeah. So this.
Mine are in Spanish, so it's okay. I'm just kidding. No, they're not.
Mine contains milk ingredients.
Milk ingredients? Yeah, the cheese. It's cheese poofs.
Contains wheat and soy ingredients. What about yours, Joe?
Corn masa flour.
I feel like we should just grab one snack next time and share it. Like, this makes me.
Mine's gluten free.
Oh jeez, get the hell out of here with that. So mine is corn masa flour processed with lime, vegetable oil, palm and or soybean and or canola oil and or rice.
And or?
Yeah, and or. So it could contain any of these. Seasoning, which contains salt, maltodextrin, citric acid, sugar, monosodium glutamate.
Anyways, good. Joseph.
Soy protein. I've got
so there is expiration date.
Oh, mine has yellow. Mine has yellow 6 too.
Did I tell you guys my story about expiration dates?
No.
The other day I went to a certain red and white store. I'm not going to say the name.
Red and white store?
Yeah. Joe doesn't get it. It's okay. I get it. Go.
And I was looking for pasta sauce, and I found one that had artichoke and, like, lemon zest, and that sounded really yummy. I was like, ooh, artichoke spaghetti. I'm going to make spaghetti. And then I checked the expiration date. It was expired from 2016. Ooh.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm just like, what the fuck? How is this not
that hot? It
was
like, remember that one time we went to the store to get the nacho cheese?
Uh-huh.
And we went in there, and all of their dip was expired, and then he just put them back on the shelf.
It wasn't dip. That was the Rosita's lime juice.
No.
No, there was another time. Sam and I went, and we wanted
sandwich store, the Smokehouse Sandwich Store. And we went across because we wanted chips with that.
Okay.
And when we went there, we're like, oh, these chips, they even have the dips with it. Well, let's grab the dip. For some reason, something was nagging me in the back of my head. Check the expiration dates. And we did. And all of them were fucking expired. We took them to the front. He's like, what's wrong with them? They're like, they're expired. And he was just like, okay. Cool. And we walk out. We see him grab them and put them back on the shelf.
That's so gross. Yeah. Check the expiration dates.
Could you imagine the mom or the dad who bought that cheese for their kids? It was just Charles. Like, here. I know, right?
But there's so many preservatives in it. Yeah.
I'm probably like you open it and it doesn't even look like it's expired.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Anyways, so chasing my hot Cheetos with.
I don't have a tea today.
Huh?
I don't have a tea today.
Well, you can share with me.
I've got a tea. It's hot tea, but it's tea.
Well, so my tea today is the Pure Leaf, which is usually what Joe and Yelly drinks, is the cherry hibiscus.
That's good, people.
It is.
I'm okay with it. I'm not a big fan.
You're not going to like mine, so don't bother trading me.
No, it's blooming with flavor. The Pure Leaf herbal iced tea is brewed from naturally caffeine-free hibiscus, so you can enjoy Pure Leaf at any time of the day.
I like how you get into like sexy operator voice. Like, hibiscus tea.
Hibiscus tea. Hi, thank you for calling 911. How can I help you?
Did you ever answer the phone like that when you were at what the fucking...
Dispatching?
Yeah, the sea alert.
You don't know. You weren't there. I used to work graveyard dispatch. And there are times...
so fucking bored to be like, hello.
Thank you for calling. What the fuck
Ghostbusters,
do you want?
What do you want?
I know, right?
No, yeah. Those are interesting stories to talk about. But it's okay. It's not my favorite. But if you want it, you can have it,
It's possible. Well, the two of you can share it.
It's just too much cherry for me.
I'm too dehydrated. I want what was today.
It's herbal tea.
I know.
Mm. Herbal tea will help you. Well, Yelly, what are you drinking?
Water! H2O!
Good old H2O.
What about you, Joe? What are you?
I swear, we're not doing any commercial work for Pure Leaf, but I too have a Pure Leaf, but anyway.
I think we need to start just getting carrot sticks and broccoli.
I know, right? Like, are we ever just going to, like, eat healthy one day? I don't know.
Anyway, I've got the unsweetened green tea Pure Leaf. What's great is that when you're... that's why I was saying don't bother asking to trade because I don't have... Mine's unsweetened. But the great thing is right next to the green tea in really small fine print, it says, with other natural flavors. Thanks for the pretzel. The window-shaped pretzel. But yeah, Pure Leaf. It's pretty good. I like it. It's got some good stuff.
But yeah, so I haven't done a shout out for a long time. So let's do some quick shout outs really quick. So I'm going to do a shout out to our continual listeners who like to talk to us. George Black, you're one of them. Romanus, hey, what's up? Teresa. We have Chevy. We have Hexie, who's always like, so when are you guys going to do werewolves? When are you going to do werewolves? Like, and he's helping, like...
We'll get there when we get there.
Thank you, Yelly. We'll get there when we get there. So, yeah, just shout out to our continued followers for the people who listen to us. We also have...
actually, Kevin...
Ashley, too?
K2, yeah. K2
has been
actually listening, too.
Yeah, so we have K2, Ashley. Big shout out to you guys, you know? We have followers, and people are continuing to follow us, and they're looking forward to our episodes, and... they're interacting with us.
Oh, and Lori, if you're also listening, condolences to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lori. We love you.
Hugs and kisses.
Yeah. But so, yeah, just, you know, big shout out to all of our fans out there. We love you guys and we appreciate everything. Okay, so today is week of the myth.
Myth.
Yelly's week.
My week, but I ain't doing shit this week.
Hey!
She's kicking back and giving points.
Yep, you're giving us the points. So
I am the point bearer today.
Yelly has the honors of picking. Who do you want to go first?
Rochambeau.
I volunteered to go last week first, so how about... Yeah, I did. I did volunteer. I was like...
Oh, yeah, and no one forced you.
You just volunteered as tribute.
Yeah, you did.
It's like, what's her face being like, I deserve extra points. I want to volunteer as tribute for my sister.
Do you want extra cookies? Well, stuff your face with more Taki.
I finished them. I'm already done. I got all 560 calories
in you right now.
I like this one the best. The cherry one's my favorite.
You can have it.
The cherry one is pretty good.
I've already kind of claimed it.
You kind of finished it a bit. So, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Ah!
So it looks like Sam won, and so she's going first.
Okay. Just because it made me giggle, yeah. His little solo laugh is what did it. I was like,
whatever. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Can't finish my fucking Twinkie.
What are you covering today?
You could finish your Twinkie.
Covering a fairy tale today.
We'll give you. We'll give you time.
Rock with the chicken wing thing, just like.
Again, I'm covering a fairy tale that everyone knows about, Little Red Riding Hood. So let's jump into it.
What if you don't know it? Will you give us a story?
I'm gonna.
Okay.
She'll get there once you get there.
Thank you, Yelly. God. So, Little Red Riding Hood is a European fairy tale about.
Can you do it in a sexy operator voice?
Little Red Riding Hood is here.
Why does sexy mean like squeakier? Like, you go up.
I'm trying not to laugh. That's what's happening, okay?
So, game face.
Game face.
Gay face or game face? Oh,
Joseph.
Sorry, go ahead.
Too much sugar.
I know the sugar's starting to kick in.
I've got calories in my system now.
All right, we're more awake. Okay. Little Red Riding Hood is a European fairy tale about a young girl and a big bad wolf. Big bad wolf.
Big and bad.
Its origins can be tracked back to the 10th century by several European folk tales, including one from the Italians called The False Grandmother, or La Fanta Nonna? Nonna.
What is Fanta?
Finta?
It's soda. Fanta? It's soda.
It's Finta, actually, with an Finta? I. It's F-I-N-T-A. Finta?
Does that mean wolf?
I don't fucking know. Well, the false grandmother is the translation.
It might be false.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
My phone's dead. I can't even do the Google thing.
Finta is false.
False grandmother.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So, later written in the, including one from Italian called The False Grandmother, or the La Finta Nonna. Later written among others by Italian folk tale collections. It was very famous in the Brothers Grimm. The story has been changed considerably in various retellings and subject to numerous modern adaptations and readings. Other names for the fairy tale are also known as Little Red Riding Hood.
Have you read any of the other?
I've read all of the Grimm stuff. Yeah. It's really interesting.
They're a lot darker, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is basically the fairy tales all in the dark version. Very goth, very macabre. So.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's cool.
So for those of you who don't know who or what the Little Red Riding Hood is, here are the tales. So the story revolves around a girl called Little Red Riding Hood. In Grimm's and in Perlet's versions of the tale, she is named after her red hooded cape or her cape or her cloak that she wears. The girl walks through the woods to deliver food to her sickly grandmother. In the Grimm's version, her mother had ordered her to stay strictly on the path. And a big bad wolf wants to eat the girl and the food in the basket. He secretly stalks her behind trees, bushes, shrubs, and patches of little and tall grass. He approaches Little Red Riding Hood, who naively tells him where she's going. He suggests that the girl pick some flowers as a present for her grandmother, which she does. In the meanwhile, he goes to his grandma's house, gains entry by pretending to be the girl. He swallows the grandmother whole. In some stories, he locks her in the closet and waits for the girl disguised as the grandmother.
I keep thinking of the stupid pedophile version of Johnny Depp with a freaking.
Me too. God. Oh, my God. And she was like, creeping in the bush.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. And then throwing the grandma in the closet. I loved how
in that commercial, they like, Johnny Depp. Like, they really hyped up him being there, and he was there for all,
2 minutes.
Right? It was so stupid.
If that.
Well, like. We went into that movie thinking it wasn't a musical.
Right? Like, when the first music happened, we're like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And then it kept going. We're like, wait, what the fuck is this? And I looked up in the middle of the movie. Oh, we're in a musical. And I think the only reason why we went to go see it was because of Johnny Depp. No,
it was the advertise and the fairy tales and stuff like that. Meryl Streep was pretty good.
I don't know. It was kind of throwy-offy.
Wishy-washy?
Very wishy-washy.
I don't even think we use that in a proper...
Squish squash. When the girl arrived, she noticed that her grandmother looked very strange. Little Red then said, "What a deep voice you have! The better to see you with," responds the wolf.
Do I have to change?
Yeah.
What a deep voice you have! The better to see. It's like the better to see you with.
Let Joe do the deep voice part.
Oh my God.
Joe, give us your creeper voice.
The better to see you with.
I love it. Keep going.
Why does that remind me of South Park? Where he's like,
what does it remind me of? I love you, Daddy.
Do the roar.
Yeah. I love you, daddy.
Okay, responsible.
We should totally get into voice acting.
Goodness, what big eyes you have.
All the better to see you with.
That would sound like robot.
I thought he sounds like the guy from Ned. South Park that's like,
don't smoke, kids.
Right, don't smoke. What big hands you have, the better to hug or grab you with.
Oh, to grab.
And lastly, what big mouth you have, the better to eat you with, responds the wolf, at which point he jumps out of the bed and eats her too. Then he falls asleep. In Charles Perlett's version of the story, the tale ends here. However, in the
Charles Perlett.
He's
the author.
One of the ones who wrote the book.
But what year?
I don't fucking know.
Charles Perlett deserves his year.
You look it up.
I can't.
That's the version that's like most well known.
Yeah, that's the more, I guess you can say, not as grim as the grim fairy tale ones have. So, yeah, the tale just ends there. However, in later version, the story continues generally as followed. So a woodcutter in the French version, but a hunter and the Brothers Grimm in a traditional German version comes to the rescue with a axe and cuts open the sleeping wolf. Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother emerge unharmed. Wolf,
I need to ask you a few questions. Where's the mother and the where's the granddaughter?
It reminds me of a Hoodwinked.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
When they fill the wolf's, and then they fill the wolf's body up with heavy stone. The wolf awakens and attempts to flee, but the stone causes him to collapse and die. So another version of the story has the grandmother locked in the closet instead of being eaten, and some have Little Red Riding Hood saved by the lumberjack as the wolf adventures on rather than after she gets eaten. So where the woodcutter kills the wolf is with the axe. So it's always changing. There was other ones where like literally chops his head off and she comes out. And then there's ones where he leaves with a pregnant belly and then the woodcutter cuts him open because it looks funky. So it's always weird that how the one that I always thought was really weird was the one that they filled him up with stone and he wakes up and
I'm okay. There's no pain.
Right? Like I totally didn't wake up because someone was cutting into my belly at all.
He was probably like, oh, I shouldn't eat that little grandma. She gave me choro.
We went Mexican there.
Did you remember the freaking constipation after having rocks put in there?
Well, it's like kind of like when kidney you eat stones. Too many tacos, and they're like hella greasy, and you're just like sitting there, and you're like, oh, after a nap of eating tacos.
Oh my god, it was like the tomato basil earlier today. Oh, it was so good, and I was just like, do I want cheddar? No, I should be good. I don't want cheddar. And then
you
I freaking
put cheddar.
I took two steps away from it. I was like, I want the cheddar.
Oh, god. Cheddar.
He got the cheddar.
I got
so,
the cheddar.
The tale makes the clearest. Okay. That's basically what I was trying to say. So, the Little Red Riding Hood basically went all the way back into the medieval times where people. There was an omen that was written that you should listen to your mother. Otherwise, something's going to come and get you. It's kind of like in every culture, we have something that if you don't... Yeah, the kukui. So that's basically the same thing. So basically...
The big bad wolf.
Yeah, and this one, it's the big bad wolf. He also warns the dangers of not obeying one's mother. It also goes into what happens if you travel too far away or if you leave the village when you're not supposed to. So it was basically just like a warning out to the kids to be, you know, to listen. To follow, you know. So the most iconic scene from the story is included in the fairy tale forest in the Dutch theme park Effenten. The big bad wolf dresses as the grandma is laying in bed. He has dressed up so that he can lure Little Red Riding Hood into the house. Red Riding Hood in Dutch. I don't want to try and say this. Like, I'm going to butcher a Dutch word here.
It's okay. We have Romanus to correct us at work.
He doesn't know Dutch.
I know he doesn't, but still.
Hey.
He probably knows it better than we do.
Right.
He's probably like Dutch.
Dutch. Le Deutsch.
Deutsch.
God damn it. So Little Red Riding Hood in Dutch is Roodkapper. Roodkapper. It's also a famous figure in the Dutch Fevis cartoon. Sprookjesboom.
Sprookjesboom.
You want to try him?
This one
and
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Which one? Dutch? Oh,
Roodkapper. Sorry to our Dutch followers.
And Sprookjesboom.
How do you know there's a R in there?
Because it's two R's together. You gotta add a R.
Just because it's that way in...
It's like...
Just because it's that way in Spanish.
I don't know. Use your phone. Use your phone and I'll Google it.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. We were so off on
Road
that
Road kapke.
There you go. That's the right one.
Road kapke.
Road kapke. Okay. Road kapke. What about this one? Oh, God. This one's going to be more interesting.
Because it's double R.
Smoke his bone.
What? Smoke bone.
It sounded like smoke his bone.
Smoke his bone.
Smoke his bone.
Interesting. Yep, yeah, totally off, as I thought. An old Dutch children's song is also dedicated to Little Red Riding Hood called Little Red Riding Hood, Where Are You Going?
Where are you going?
So, yeah, the Dutch kind of, like, really, like, put it on their kids of, like, do you want this to happen to you? Do you want to be eaten by a wolf? No. Then they have a song. They have, like, a lullaby for it.
Just like a warning tale.
Yeah. So now let's go into some history. Now that I've told people what Little Red Riding Hood is, now let's go into the history.
So why is it red?
Why not?
Why not blue?
Maybe the history is going to cover that.
We'll get there when we get there.
Thank you, Yelly. You answered your own question. Yes. All right. So history in relationship to other tales. So the story displays many similarities to stories from classic Greece and Rome. Scholar Graham Anderson has compared the stories to a local legend recommended by Persians, in which each year a virgin girl was offered to a malevolent spirit dressed in the skin of a wolf who raped the girl. Then one year the boxer Ithomus came along, killed the spirit and married the girl who had been offered up as a sacrifice. There was also a number of different stories recounted by Greek authors involving a woman named Paeia, literally means fire.
Paeia?
Not Paeia, Paeia, which literally means fire, like the translation is fire.
Fire.
And a man with some name meaning wolf. The Roman poet Horace alluded to the tale in which a male child is rescued alive from the belly of a wolf, who is a female, actually, in this one, in mythology.
The wolf is female?
Yeah, the wolf is actually female, and she ate a male child who was saved. And so the dialogue between the big bad wolf and the Little Red Riding Hood has its own analogies in the Norse mythology. From Elder Elda, the great Pry has stolen that hammer.
Thor's hammer?
Yeah.
I don't know the name of Thor's hammer.
It's like Moria. I can't say the name. I don't know why. So Thor's hammer. I'll just refer to it as Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
And demanded that Freya, as his bride, is in return. So this is like the Norse mythology behind it. So actually, Thor's a bad guy in here, and he was the one. I guess you could say he's like.
He was Loki.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Loki. Instead, the god dressed Thor as a bride and sent him. Yeah. So. There was a Norse god that was demanding that they wanted Freya as his bride. So Thor was like, I will go in her place and dressed up
blonde hair
with his beard and everything. Because if you've seen pictures of Thor in Norse mythology, he is manly of man with beards and everything. And he went in Freya's place, who, if you see in Norse mythology, is super fucking sexy. So it was just like, how'd it happen?
He's like, they won't be able
to. They won't notice. So when the giant noted Thor's unladylike eyes eating and drinking, Loki explained that Freya's not having slept or eaten or drink out of a long time. This is why he was acting the way she was acting and longing for a wedding. She's not like, gee, what like big beard you have, or like what unladylike eyes you have. It was just like, or the fact that you look like a fucking dude. It was like, oh no, she's eating and drinking like a guy. It's so weird. So their version of Little Red Riding Hood is basically Thor dressed up as a chick. And it's like, gee, what what unladylike eyes you have. And he's like, oh, the more to see you with. And then it's like, oh, well, what, you know, great eatings, like you eat a lot. And he's like, the more to keep up my muscles to keep up with you. And then it's like, oh, well, you what, like drinking you have like a man. He's like, the better to keep up with you, my lord. And it was just God. Like so when I was reading it, yeah. So this is from the Norse mythology.
Kind of sounds like something that Loki would do. It's kind of like
sounds like a beginning of a yaoi.
Yeah, but Loki was Very good, Yowie. But Loki had to like explain to him, like, she hasn't seen light of day for a while. So, so anyways, a parallel to another North myth, the chase is that ended up into eventual murder was involved the sun goddess. Yeah, she was drawn in and eventually killed by the wolf. So a very similar story also begins in the North Africa tradition. So as you can tell, this is all around, but there's different
renditions
of it. So in this one, the theme of a little girl who visits her granddad in his cabin and is recognized by the sound of her bracelets continuously hitting each other. It's also, they actually have a song. I'm going to try and say it.
Do it.
So they have a song that they tell their kids to sing when they're on a path by themselves. Get there when I fucking get there.
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm trying to stay awake.
I can tell.
I'm just like, if I open my eyes wider.
Okay, so they would say it's, this is the more modern rendition of it, and it in English. I beseech you, open the door for me, father. Jingle your bracelets, oh, my dear daughter, Garbrea. I'm afraid of the monster in the forest, father. I, too, am afraid, oh, my daughter, Garbrea.
Can you sing it to me?
I'm not going
to
sing it.
Slower. I'll give you a point. If you try.
No. I'm all trying to think of how I'm going to do it in my head, but I'm just going to, like, people are going to be like, ah, point, my ears.
I'm okay.
I beseech you. Nope.
See,
nope.
You're fine.
Nope.
Do it.
I need Hexy to sing this because Hexy has a singing voice. He does.
He's going to just go all freaking Beyonce on
it. He does. God, he's so fabulous. Mm-hmm. So the theme of the raving wolf and the creature released unharmed from its belly is also a reflection of the Russian tale Peter and the Wolf and another German tale the Wolf and the Even Young Kids. Oh. It is a general theme of restoration, at least as old as biblical times, from Joan and the whale. Mm-hmm. The theme also appears in stories of life of Saint Margaret, whereas the saint emerges unharmed from the belly of a dragon, and in the epic The Red Path by Jim C. Hintz.
Like Hercules and the Hydra.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So
Hercules.
Basically, they're saying those are all like different renditions of the Little Red Riding Hood. Mm-hmm. Essentially, in a Taiwanese story from the 16th century known as the Garden Tiger bears several striking similarities.
The Garden Tiger?
Yeah. When the girl's mother goes out, the tiger comes to the girl's house and pretends to be their aunt, asking to come in. The girl says that her voice does not sound right, so the tiger attempts to disguise her voice. Then the girl says that her hands feel too coarse, so the tiger attempts to make them smoother. When finally the tiger gains entry, she eats the girl's sister's hand. The girl comes up with a ruse to go outside and fetch some goods for her aunt.
Why does that remind me of freaking Blazing Saddles? When there's a scene where they're trying to sign up for ambushing the city. And they find the black guy dressed in a KKK suit.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, hey, what's going on with this? He's like, how many times do I have to tell you to wash your hands? And he's like, here. And he starts scrubbing the back of his hand. He flips it over. He's like, see, there, it's coming off.
Oh, my God. Yep. So the tiger, suspicious of the girl, ties a rope to her leg. The girl ties a bucket to the rope to fool her. But the tiger realizes this and chases after her. Whereupon she climbs a tree. The girl tells the tiger that she will let her eat her, but first she would like to feed her some fruit from the tree. The tiger comes closer to eat the food, whereupon the girl pours boiling hot oil down her throat, killing her.
How did she get the boiling hot oil from the tree?
No, but that's the tale of Little Red Riding Hood. Except
herself or the tiger?
She puts it down the tiger's throat, the boiling oil. Yeah, it's the rendition is really...
I'm just like, where did that come from?
I don't know. Maybe it was lost in like translation or something like that, but that was like what I was able to find.
Instead of hot oil, it's like spiky thorns or something.
I know. There's other renditions. So earlier versions, the origin of Little Red Riding Hood story can be traced to several years pre-17th century versions from various European countries. Some of those are significantly different from currently known, the Grimm-inspired version. It was told by French peasants in the 10th century and recorded by cathedral schoolmaster Edinburgh of Liège. Yeah. In Italy, the Little Red Riding Hood was told by parents in the 4th century, where a number of versions existed, and like the false grandmother that I mentioned earlier. But they called it the story of grandmother. The earlier variations of the tale do differ from currently known variations in several ways. The antagonist is not always a wolf, but sometimes an ogre, vampire, or a bazu, also known as werewolf, making these tales relevant to the werewolf tales similar to witch trials of the time. And I won't get into the wolf trials until I cover my wolfies.
I was about to be like, yes. You're pushing a close boundary here.
I am. So is that not a hint to a future episode of me doing wolves? Werewolves? Maybe.
We'll get there.
Yes, that's coming. Hexy, hint. So the wolf usually leaves the grandmother's blood and meat for the girl to eat, who then unwittingly cannibalizes her own grandmother. Furthermore, the wolf is also known to ask her to remove her clothing and toss it in the fire.
Oh, dang. Yes. She's like, get naked.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's Burning Man.
In some variation, the wolf eats the girl after she gets into bed with him, and they have fun. Mm.
So he is like praying mantis status, like after they...
But they're not mating. He fools her and he rapes her.
Well...
Potato, potato.
In one way or another, he's eating her.
Oh, God, Joe.
Are you eating that or
are you eating that? Oh, man. So, yeah, he eats her after he eats her. And the story. And the story ends there. In others,
my poor myth episodes. It's dirty and smut now. Sex doesn't sell that hard, you guys.
Trying to wake you up, damn it. So in others, she sees through this disguise and tries to escape, complaining to her grandmother that she needs to go to the bathroom and would not wish to do so in the bed. The wolf reluctantly lets her go. Ties a piece of string so she doesn't get too far. However, the girl slips the string over something else and runs off. In these stories, she escapes with no help from any male or other female figures. Instead, uses her own cunning and wit to outsmart him.
1 point for the girl.
Woo! Okay. And sometimes Little Red, like the red hood part, is not even part of the story.
Yeah,
it was just something that was added in, kind of thing. So
I think the red is like because so many of them translate it with like
virgins and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that's one of the main things too. So in other tellings of stories, the wolf chases after Little Red Riding Hood. She escapes with the help of some Lundress who spreads a sheet taunt over a river so she may escape. When the wolf follows Red over the bridge of cloth, the sheet is released and the wolf is drowned in the river. And in another version, the wolf is pushed into fire, which I've heard plenty of times, while he is preparing the meat of the grandmother so the girl can eat it. So it's kind of like a Hansel Gretel moment type of thing there.
The witch. Yeah. Push her into the fire.
And these are some lovely pictures I found of renditions.
It's in color.
It is in color, thanks to Bender Color.
Bender's in color.
Yeah, so here's some... I'm almost getting to the ending. So interpretations. Besides the overt warning about talking to strangers, there are many interpretations of the classic fairy tale, many of them sexual. It even states that Red Hood appears as a symbolism of coming to age and even sin of tradition, so of temptation. So I will have, so here are some listed below of what the Red Hood stands for. See, I told you I'd get there when I fucking get there, ELA.
I know, get there when I get there.
So the Red Hood symbolizes the natural cycles. So folklorists and culture anthropologists say that Little Red Riding Hood is the term of the solar myths and other natural causing cycles. Her Red Hood could represent the bright sun, which is ultimately swallowed by the terrible night, the wolf. And the variation in which she is cut out of the wolf's belly represents the dawn. And in this interpretation, there is a connection between the wolf of this tale and Skoll, the wolf in Norse mythology that will swallow the personified son of Ragnarok or Freya. Alternatively, the tale could be about the seasons of spring or of the month of May escaping the winter.
Wait, is the wolf her big giant wolf from Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Ah! I finally put two and two together.
You finally put it together. Oh my God, Yelly.
So like, she's got Freya.
It just like, light bulb.
Why does Freya sound familiar? And I was like, oh, Freya's our sister.
Yes, like. So another imputation is called rites or puberty, pretty much. So the telehealth puberty, yeah.
Puberty is alright.
Well, they refer to it. They refer to it as an like R-I-T-E, not like right, like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yelly's looking at me like, what?
You're turning both rights. You're just gonna end up
the tell. The tell has been interpreted as a puberty rite, stemming from woman's organs, the girl leaving home, entering into a state of being, out there in the open by going through the acts of the tail, transforms into adult woman by acting of coming out of a wolf's stomach.
Oh.
So like it's the transformation from a little girl to dealing with society that turns her into a woman.
Could you imagine if that's like it was a tradition somewhere
for
like,
us girls to have to do
into a wolf? It's a beautiful butterfly. Like a cocoon.
Isn't life like that though?
Yeah.
Where we're little kids, young just little innocent little girls, up. and then life comes and is like,
yeah, it's called high school.
No, it's just called, it's just called life, yeah. Joe. It's just called life.
Life.
So it also symbolized rebirth. So it also symbolized rebirth. So Bruno Bertinham in the use of enchantments, the meaning and importance of fairy tales, 1976.
Thank you.
So this story recants that Little Red Riding Hood Muffets. Oh,
with
so,
your puppets.
Yeah, it's he basically is. So what he did was he took a lot of like fairy tales, and he interpreted them and translated them to like, this is what it subtly means. And he says
kind of like Guillermo del Toro does with some fairy tales.
Yeah. So with him, he's all like, so the story of Little Red Riding Hood is just basically a woman coming to age where a girl who's foolish listens to the wolf and has been reborn as a new person. So basically they are naive as young babies and then they grow up to be like, I'm not tricked anymore. And of course there's the Norse mythology, Freya and Thor disguised.
Oh, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the red food has often been given great importance in many interpretations with the significant from like dawn to blood. So let's get to the more erotic, romantic, and rape connections of this. Because apparently...
Will you turn like a PG thing into like a rated R?
How did it become PG when we're like, he ate her out and then he ate her? Like, when did that...
Well, before we started talking about this, it was like PG.
We never start this thing as being PG in any form of way.
And then it went to like adult, and now it's just R-rated.
We've always been R-rated. Like just X-R-rated. Always. So the sexual analysis of this tale may also include negative connotations in terms of rape.
So many people at work that probably just look at us like, they talk about sex all
day. Rape and abduction. And against our wills, Susan Brown Miller described the fairy tale as a description of rape. However, many revisionist retelling choose to focus on empowerment and depict Little Red Riding Hood or their grandmother successfully defending herself against the wolf. Such tellings bear some similarities to the animal bridegroom tales, such as Beauty and the Beast or the Frog Princess, but where the heroine of those tales transformed the hero into a prince. Those telling of the Little Red Riding Hood revealed to the heroine that she has a wild nature like
she
the
has
heroes.
Heroin. Sorry, that joke was stretching it.
Yes, it was.
Sam's face is gonna be like intense dust.
These interpretations refuse to characterize Little Red Riding Hood as a victim, and these are the tales of female
She's
empowerment.
Not a victim of heroin.
Yeah, it is late. We're starting to crack jokes like we're in fucking middle school.
Right? Yeah, you said but.
I closed the laugh.
I know, right?
So,
yeah, so this went from people going like, Little Red Riding Hood, it just talks about rape culture.
I need to take a picture. Yelly trying to stay awake during
Yelly's being reborn from the womb. Yeah. She's coming out of the
she
stomach.
Did that earlier today with her backpack.
Joe.
I'm done.
Joe.
Oh, that's so bad.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Photoshop my shirt red though.
Oh my god.
Just like colored in with those like little edges.
I know, right?
So yes, Little Red Riding Hood, for the longest time people took it as, you know, showing weakness to women and that it was just supporting rape culture. And actually for a while Beauty and the Beast got bashed for that too, because it's like it's straight
Stockholm Syndrome,
and she like fell for her victim after he did all these nasty things to her. Same thing with the Frog Prince. And
an article I read where they were actually saying that it wasn't Stockholm Syndrome. It was actually pretty cool. I'll see if I can find the article.
Yeah, it's just like a number of these tales came out to being like, you're just belittling women because they all depend on a man to come and save her and so forth. So that's why a lot of things are being like rewritten to be like, girl power, you know, type of thing. Because girls have powers.
That's why a lot of the new Disney movies...
Huh? Like Wreck-It Ralph and stuff like that. So we're almost done. So at the end of Mother Goose version of Little Red Riding Hood, Charles Perlick included a moral, just in case children don't pick up the message of this.
Moral tale.
No, not a morale. Moral.
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 Not morale.
Moral.
Yes.
What did you say?
That's what I said. You're saying morale. This is a moral?
Isn't it a moral?
Yes.
Moral.
What was I saying?
You're saying morale.
Moral.
No, you're saying morale.
What's... Oh, I get it.
More oral.
Moral.
Yes.
Wow,
so...
Joe. Wow.
So...
What I said was moral.
He writes, children, especially attractive, well-bred young women... Or young ladies should never talk to strangers, for they should do so, they may well provide dinner for a wolf. Why does that remind me of, like, Bob's Burger? Yeah. Tina, you go give. Or, like...
No, wait, Gene, you go Gene, do
no,
it.
You, Gene, go.
Why me? Because you're heavy. Heavy kids can get molested.
So, some have hinted and stated that this fuels rape culture. The moral story for the young girls is very clear. Guard yourself and your virginity against predators who want to take advantage of you, and even the most gentle wolves could be the most dangerous ones of all. So, you have to keep an eye out for that. So, that pretty much ends it, but I have what I always do at the end of almost all my stories. Popular culture! What is Red Riding Hood and pulp culture?
Pop culture.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm confused. I'm waiting for you to get there.
Okay, so popular culture. Little Red Riding Hood has been the interpretation of thousands of things from animations and film, with films based off of tales of Little Red Riding Hood. There have been tons of television shows that have a character with the name or shows based on it, such as like Once Upon a Time, Teen Wolf, Hoodwinked, and stuff like that.
Would Robin Hood count as Robin Hood?
No, Robin Hood is different from Little Red Riding Hood. Are you talking about Robin Hood as a myth?
Kind of like
the Disney version where they're all animals.
Oh God! So Little Red Riding Hood is everywhere in illustration, with tons of different stories depicting different versions of the myth and the fairy tale. Music has also been influenced by the tale of Little Red Riding Hood, and of course, games also take a lot of inspiration from hunting tales, adding more to the story or taking what they want. There's also been a musical called musical based on it called Into the Woods. Yeah.
Meryl Streep, Johnny Depp.
Exactly. So. More stuff on Little Red Riding Hood pictures.
More color.
Yes. Bender color. Thank you. But, yeah, so that's more
I
of
like
a...
How this wolf is, like, on his hind legs. Like, walking.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kind of things. This is more of, like, a history lesson on Little Red Riding Hood than
they,
anything
like, depicted
else.
Depicted them as, like, oh, males are wolves.
Yeah, basically. And don't trust any wolf, even the most gentle.
Just gentle, red-hooded... Little virgins.
But actually, from what I read, it's also woman empowerment, because it's like, so maybe the little red wolf, or the little red wolf, the wolf may be going after what he thinks is weak prey, when the bitch is like, no, I'm not, and step, step, step.
It was kind of like that one.
But she never did the stabbing, the woodcutter did.
No, there's
versions
there's
of it.
There's versions where she's just like, I'll eat you, and she kills him, and it's very vicious. Mm. So... It's a little Red Riding Hood. Not very entertaining, I know.
No, you are. Why would you? I'm just tired, friend. It's like, what time? What kit were I?
1:47.
1:47 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a little Red Riding Hood, basically. It's just a warning and a myth kind of thing, because they used it a lot out there.
Protect your virginity.
Just, there's creatures out there, and there's beasts out there, and in the real world do. Murder. Joe, your turn.
Should I get started now?
Well,
go for it. Okay, how should I start this? Today, I am covering a Japanese urban legend. Anyway, it's a Japanese urban legend based off of a woman. Okay, so there was a little confusion while I was doing the research. I don't know if the woman's name was Kuchisake Ona or if that was the type of...
God damn it. I heard the word Kuchi and I just...
I had a feeling that I was going to...
Anyway. What does it sound like?
Kuchisake Ona. Kuchisake.
Kuchisake.
Mm-hmm. They don't pronounce the U. But anyway.
Who?
She is a malevolent spirit originating from Japanese urban legends dating as far back as the Edo period. During the Edo period, it was rumored that she was... Kitsune Fox in disguise as a woman. But anyway, yeah, that's what the Edo that's what the Edo period version of it is. Okay, so she generally approaches a person wearing a white She usually wearing the white mask while she's apparent. She's approaching the person, not the other way around. Covering her disfigured mouth, cut from the opening of her mouth to the back of her jaw on either side of her face, and will ask them if they think she's pretty. She will generally approach a person wearing a white mask covering her disfigured mouth. Her mouth will be cut from the opening of her mouth to the back of her jaw on either side of her face.
So imagine Joker and Batman.
I'm going to get to that.
Yelly. We need to make that a shirt, like, now.
And she generally asks the person she runs into, usually in a back alley, when the person's by themselves, she'll ask them, "Do you think I'm pretty?" And translation, she actually, it'll be anywhere, "Do you think I'm pretty?" or just, "Am I pretty?" which is, "Watashi kirei." And so...
Say it, Yelly.
Watashi kirei.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see where was. Oh yeah. Okay, so there are a few different interactions that you can have with her. Depending on her answer, depends pretty much on how she kills you. So either way, she kills you.
Either way, you get killed, right?
Yeah. First of all,
what if you choose not to answer her?
Actually, there are ways to get around it.
I'll get there when I get there, Yelly.
So if they answer with no, she will kill them. Pretty much just outright. She'll usually either just...
Salty,
yeah.
She's a little salty.
She'll usually... you'll figure out why she's a little salty.
Okay.
She will usually kill them with a pair of scissors that she carries with her. However, if they answer with yes, she will remove her mask, exposing her disfigured face, and ask, "Do you still think I'm pretty?" Or translation, "Kore demo" is what she asks in Japanese, which is pretty cool. I thought it'd be a little Japanese language lesson. And then, she'll ask them, "Do you still think I'm pretty?" And if they answer yes again, there are different orders in which I saw this. Like, there are several different versions if you answer yes the second time. If she senses that you're not being truthful to what you're saying, she'll still kill you. However, if you do mean it, she'll, one, either disfigure your face the same way that hers is disfigured, which is basically from the opening of your mouth to from ear to ear, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Or she will follow them home and then kill them while they're at home. However, if they reply with no on the second response, then surprise, surprise, she kills them on the spot with either stabbing them with her scissors or cutting off their head. Or cutting them in half. But,
that's kind of brutal.
Yeah, so...
Need some big-ass scissors for that.
Actually kind of large. From what they say, they're more kind of like gardening shears. Like the large gardening shears that are kind of like that. But, actually, doing a little bit more research and a little more digging, she actually cuts you in half if you actually try running away from her before you can actually... before you can actually answer.
So what if you just walk away?
Another outcome as a result.
That's like Slasher 101, though. If you run and they're walking, you're dead.
Yeah. Another outcome as a result of her asking again, she removes the mask with the yes response. What the hell? If you do try to run, it won't work, as since she's a spirit, she'll pop up in front of you no matter which direction you try to run. So if you try to turn around and run, like a turn of 180 and try to run from her, she'll actually be standing right next to you or right in front of you as you try to run, which is pretty interesting. And this is actually is a way that you can possibly bypass her question. When she asks, "Do I look pretty?" you can simply say or reply with, "You're so-so," or "You're just average."
Oh, shit! Yeah,
this will confuse her, giving you the chance to slip past her. And my favorite to get away from her is to say, "I don't have the time," upon which she will apologize, turn around, and leave.
Bitch, I ain't got the time for your bullshit right now.
Pretty much. I actually have a comic book where they say that too, because I can't remember what the comic book was called, but it's she literally approaches them. She's like, "Do you think I'm pretty?" And the girl turns around. She's like, "Leave us alone, you dumb bitch." And she turns around and walks away.
That's it's so kind of sad. Up.
But yeah, another way to try to escape her is by either throwing hard candy, money, or fruit at her to distract her, then run away while she picks up the food, or
so money. She's a fatty by heart.
She has a hankering for hard candies, for sweet tea.
She's a fatty by heart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so I can relate.
Another way to try to escape her is to ask, Do you think?
Well, it kind of sucks for us because we're running out of snacks. So if she appears, we're just like, shit, what can we throw her?
So the last thing you can do to try to escape her is in turn ask her, "Do you think I look pretty?" And she'll actually stop and actually contemplate
Whoa.
Yeah. while she's contemplating, that's pretty much your cue to get the fuck out of there. So even though her legend started out as a ghost story, over time it transitioned into an urban legend which spawned from actual events. In Japan during the Heian period, I should really recheck my grammar next time. In Japan, during the Heian period, which is the last division of classical Japanese history running from 794 to 1185 and is named after the city Heian-ko, which is now Kyoto today. This is the period when Buddhism and Taoism and other Chinese practices were at its height in Japan.
Taoism.
Yeah. Legend has it that Kuchisake was a woman who was extremely beautiful and was either the wife or geisha to a samurai. The samurai had found out or suspected that she had been cheating on him with another samurai, and in his anger he cut open her mouth from ear to ear and then said, "Who will think you're beautiful now?" Which is why she asks, "Do you think I'm pretty?" Or, "Am I pretty?" And sugar cube, this type of wound is commonly referred to as a Glasgow smile, a Chelsea smile, or a Cheshire grin, resulting in either an open wound or a scar in the shape of a smile. As quoted by the Joker in The Dark Knight, "Why so serious?"
I see what you did there, yeah. Joe. 1 point for you. 1 point for Team Paranormal. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I get a point.
Why didn't I get one? Was mine too history? Was no. It like you were falling asleep in mine? I didn't offer you snacks in between.
You want to know the real reason why?
Why?
Because you didn't fucking swallow the Twinkie.
I wanted to fucking enjoy it. It's not every day I get a damn Twinkie.
Even though they're... Never mind. Yeah, it's true. She doesn't get Twinkies already.
Even though they're what, Joe?
Even though they're like readily available for us like at 7-Eleven like all the time. But it's not like we go to 7-Eleven every day anyway.
Finish your fucking story, Joe.
I'm actually already halfway through my story. Every site that I went to had all of the same information, like no matter where I went to.
I hit that wall too. Don't worry.
That's why I put more history in mine.
Trust me, this is all the history. So it is believed that the story was originally meant to be told as a cautionary tale to remain faithful.
Another cautionary tale.
Hey, like mine. This is just, I should just call this caution.
Caution.
Don't be a woman.
First appearances or sightings of her ghost began in Japan back in the 1970s, and it is said that she would appear to people during the night while they were traveling alone. It is here where she would ask the individual, do you think I'm pretty or am I pretty?
Am I pretty? Yeah.
Also pretty, also pretty and witty and gay.
We gotta watch that movie tonight now, as we're going to sleep. It'll be a sleeper movie. So in 1979,
I was gonna say that was right around the corner.
Yeah, it is rumored that she would appear to children and chase them. And in 2007, a coroner found records of a woman who was chasing children and was eventually hit by a car while being chased by police and died. During the 1970s, rumors of the slit mouth woman were seen stalking children, and as a result,
page turn.
Many schools and even a few parks were closed during the threat. The record also showed that the woman had the same wounds on her face as described earlier. This version of her, however, may be from a more modern backstory in which Kuchisaki was the inmate of an insane asylum who had carved her face and then escaped. Others say that it was from the car crash that had actually caused her wounds on her face. Like, so when she got hit by the car, the impacts pretty much split her mouth open.
Ooh, that had to be pretty serious.
Like the guy with the weird steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the one that I showed you, the actual one.
Oh my god, yeah, and his whole lower jaw. Yeah, that person is still alive.
Cheshire, as you called it.
Yeah. One reason why she may have targeted children in 1979 is because there's another rumor that she herself had kids of her own. 3 to be exact, and was abusive to them. 2 of the children ran away, and in her kind of like being dishonor on your family. Kind of, she was like, she asked her child, she asked her last child to cut her throat, basically, so it didn't seem like she committed suicide. It was more of the kid killing her in self-defense. Instead, he accidentally, like, cut her mouth and then ran away. And that's when she kind of, like, bled out still from the
How do you accidentally, I'm going to cut your throat, oh, there's your mouth.
So,
your mouth was just, it fell in.
Like, my mom's asking me to cut her throat for her.
Just like fell in.
So rumors also say that her legend has actually spread all the way to South Korea as a woman who will appear to people wearing a blood red mask, and she will generally ask the same question, whether or not am I pretty. Even though this is the first time I'm actually hearing about this, there's even an American version where there is a demonic clown that actually stalks the bathroom and waits for children to come in, and he'll ask them, do you want death or a happy smile?
I've never heard that part.
And if they say death, then obviously he kills them, but if they say a happy smile, he'll pull out a knife and cut their faces the way that his is. Or yeah, pretty much. It's a clown. Yeah, it's the first time I've heard of it.
Me too.
And to some, she is actually believed to be a type of yokai, which is
a ghost.
Yeah, a type of ghost or spirit.
Yelly covered that. Yeah. Yay, one point to Yelly.
Yay.
Sorry, it just came out.
And the type of yokai that they believe her to be is a yurei, which is a type of Japanese ghost who are generally female, although males are also known to exist. They are described as wearing a long white dress and having long black hair that usually hangs in front of their face. So basically, the ghost from The Grudge or Ju-on or The Ring. That's pretty much what this type of yokai is. Uh-huh. And don't want to get too much into detail about the spirit, as I actually may want to cover the URA in the later episode.
Like me, Joe claims dibs.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much it as far as the split-faced woman or Kuchisaki Ona. There are actually several movies based off of this legend, and when I say several, I mean like a whole bunch.
Give us a couple, Joe.
Okay, so the one that I actually watched was one that I saw it in America, was pretty good, which was called the Split Mouth Woman, aka Kuchisake, directed by, actually no, it was Carved. Carved was the one that I saw, and it's called Carved, the Slit Mouth Woman, and in Japanese it was just simply called Kuchisake Onna, and that released in 2007. There was also the first movie that I was able to find, which was back in 1996, which was just called Kuchisake Onna and only aired in Japan. There was a sequel, Carved 2, The Scissors Massacre, aka The Slit Mouth Woman.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was.
As far as like Japanese versions of movies go, or just like American renditions of it, it was pretty bad. There was also The Slit Mouth Woman, Zero, The Beginning, aka Kuchisake Onna Zero.
The Beginning. I like how they like...
Beginningu is what the Japanese version was called, which was directed by Katsuo Kodama. And that was in 2008. There's like several others. The most recent one, however, which was called Kuchisake Onna versus Kashima-san, and that came out in 2017. So... this legend is starting to become like the sci-fi version of like the Megalodon versus Mega Shark or against other yokai in Japan.
Oh god.
Which the name of it again was Kuchisake Onna versus Kashima-san.
And that's the other one that you want to cover.
Kashima-san? No, that was maybe one that I can cover. But
wasn't that?
Don't call dibs.
No, I think there's one that is close related to it where I wanted to call dibs on it.
Mm. But yeah, like I really tried digging for more information on how this was or like her legend and stuff like that. But every site I would go to was literally the same thing. Like, people had literally copied and pasted from other people's websites and put it on their own. Oh. And I was just like,
not very helpful. Do you have pictures?
I have a picture from the movie.
I'm about to go to bed. That's
from the movie. From the movie Carved.
Can you see?
And this, the movie Carved, the one that I saw back in 2007.
It's not that scary.
Yeah. The one that I saw back in 2007 actually followed the
lore. I saw
lore.
Scarier pictures when you were looking this shit up.
Yeah, well, like that was like one of the other stuff. Look, the movie Carved,
it's not scary.
It actually follows the lore of her chasing children.
And yeah, I saw
children
it.
And trying to kill them.
She's like tiptoe through the window, get you.
I'm gonna give a point to Yelly for staying awake.
I tried so hard.
How about I take that point away because she didn't want to look at your beautiful picture that Bender printed.
Okay, Jasper Joe, I'm gonna give a point because Sam took away my point.
It's
so I'm gonna negate her point that I was gonna give her.
It's not that bad.
It's really not that bad. Like I tried finding
some pictures that he had last night that were 10 times worse.
I would like to roll into my bed with all my fluffy pillows and go right to sleep. Okay, the last thing I need burned into my fucking brain is some lady with her slit feckin' face of like Joker status.
Slit feckin' face.
Yeah. Slit feckin' face.
Her coochie slit face.
Oh my god.
Coochie coochie. So
yeah,
we made it. So let's wrap it all up. Sam, do your little
Are you
spiel.
Swimming right now?
Yeah, I'm swimming.
She's swimming in her own dreams.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, that is the end of the week of the myth.
End of the week of the myth.
And it was fun.
You hesitated.
A little bit.
No. You never got your Snickers, by the way.
No, I didn't get my Snickers, but I did
Twinkies.
Get Twinkies, so that's sure. Even better. So, yeah, that was our week of the myth. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We have another episode coming at you guys because the next week is murder.
When are we doing the listeners?
I will be doing that shortly. I'm actually thinking about making our listener videos where actually people tell us their stuff.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's coming. And I actually have another episode planned to do with my father soon. Mm-hmm. He's been studying. So he's really eager and he really wants to come back on the show and people are asking for him. So That's coming shortly. The website is almost done. I was actually working on it the other night. Joe saw me. I'm doing it myself. I have zero experience. So.
I mean, someone starts, everybody's going to start somewhere.
Yeah. So website's coming soon, and that will have merch on it available for people to buy. Right now it's going to be simple with just stickers before I can get the rest of the other stuff, which will include shirts and pins and bumper stickers and so on and so forth. More merch to hopefully arrive soon. We have, we did not forget, we will be doing a live showing soon. So, because we said we would do that after we reached, 1,000 listens, I think we said.
I think it was 1,000.
Or 500. Whatever we said it was, we said we'd do a live one for all of our followers. And when we actually have a date for it, we'll promote it for, a month before we actually, do it so we can get some people to participate with us. Other than that, news still to follow. Guys, stay tuned for that. Then that's... Yeah, so news to follow soon. Please... send us your stories, please. If you guys have anything you want to say to us, or if you guys have any stories you want to share, just, slide into our DMs. We have both Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also have a Patreon. Or you can send it to our email, which is preferred at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. And yeah, horror stories. Maybe I should spell it out. It's a long night, people. So with that, stay spooky, y'all.
Till next time, Space Cowboys.
Happy haunting, people. I almost forgot.
That's right. I could tell.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.